Around the country, protesters have been gathering to voice their concerns over violence against Black Americans by police officers. Last night, one of those protests was held in Hanover, New Hampshire. Rena Goldthree is a professor of African and African American studies at Dartmouth. She helped organize the protest, and she says about 50 or 60 protesters of all ages carried posters, chanted Black Lives Matter, read aloud the names of people killed by police, and held what's called a die-in.
For 4.5 minutes, we laid in the center of the main intersection here in Hanover and did that to commemorate the 4.5 hours that Michael Brown's body lay in the streets of Ferguson after he was killed by police officer Darren Wilson. So we gathered together last night around kind of three broad aims. The first was to protest state-sanctioned violence and racialized policing. The second aim of our gathering last night was to seek justice for victims of police brutality. And the third was to really puncture the narrative that police brutality and racial profiling aren't relevant to those of us who live in New Hampshire.
Northern New England is not known for its racial diversity. So how do you have that conversation with people who may think that it's a problem in other places and not necessarily in their backyard?
Many of us here in the Granite State watch the images of Humvees and military-grade weapons on the streets of Ferguson, and watch that in horror, and not realizing that many of our own local police departments also are able to request these surplus military-grade weapons. And indeed, there are ways online to see if your local police department has requested military surplus weapons and what weapons they have. The second way we sought to spark that conversation was by actually recounting two instances of police violence from the Upper Valley, both men from Vermont. One of the men lost his life, and the other was severely beaten in his home. In both of these incidents, no charges were filed against the officers involved.
There was also an essay I read over the weekend by Kiese Lehman, a professor at Vassar College in New York, and he wrote about the racial profiling that he's seen for himself and many of his Black students, not just from police, but from administrators and other faculty. Are there parallels in this part of the country? I mean, you work at an Ivy League institution.
I certainly would say my own experience as a Black woman who's lived in New Hampshire now for over 5 years is that both my interactions with my colleagues and my neighbors have overwhelmingly been cordial, and yet I always joke with friends here that when I encounter members of the community, they always ask me, oh, who are you here visiting, or do you need directions anywhere? And that's both very friendly to offer directions, but there's always the assumption that I can't be a part of this community.
You were originally from St. Louis, and you were recently in Ferguson, Missouri during the protests over the fatal shooting death of Michael Brown by Officer Darren Wilson. What did you see there that might have relevance for us in this state?
I flew home to spend a week around Thanksgiving time with my family, and I landed in St. Louis about 45 minutes after the grand jury's decision was announced. And from the sky, you could already see the kind of clusters of police sirens. I was in Ferguson this past Sunday, and what was striking to me was the ways in which the main center of protest has actually moved out of Ferguson, that local activists in the St. Louis area are taking the protest to seats of power in St. Louis. So they had major protests and die-ins at all of the malls in the most affluent communities in St. Louis. They held protests at the county courthouse in the affluent suburb of Clayton, Missouri.
How hopeful are you then that with the activists bringing attention to some of these differences, how hopeful are you that, some of that might start to change?
I try to remain hopeful. I'm a historian by training, and so I realize the kind of weight of these issues and how deeply entrenched they are. And yet, standing outside last night, and when it was, a characteristically, cold New England, New Hampshire winter, and looking out at the incredibly diverse group of people who took a stand to say no more. And I really believe that all over the country, there are people who are absolutely committed to that, this issue is allowing people to have really difficult but absolutely necessary conversations about those larger systemic problems. And last night as well, there is something remarkably powerful and liberating about joining together with other people for justice.
Professor Rena Goldthree of Dartmouth College, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thanks so much.